Hey, everybody, and welcome to a time here. Chase Hosted with me in the studio again, and we've been sharing a lot on the radio recently, and love you, brother. It's good to have you around again. That is for sure. And just to introduce you once again, people know you as Greg Hofstede back in the 90s when you were co-pastoring with me here at the Foursquare Church. And we had that great move of God, terrific outpouring of the Spirit. And you were quite involved also later with the whole renewal outpouring. And we're bringing it to churches and pastors across the country. You toured all over the place, got a lot of original music and such.
I remember that Rodney Howard Brown was kind of mad at me. We were over in Vancouver. He was at Glad Tidings.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the times he came, and we had a breakfast with him, and I had all these VCR videos of his ministry, like, just amazing. I still have most of them. And and so I'd given a little testimony on the breakfast that I'd been taking these VCR, these tapes all over BC and Canada, and showing these pastors and how the Lord had moved every time we watched them, and everyone's rolling on the floor laughing their head off.
And Rodney, when they're just watching the videos.
And Rodney's so mad at me because, I guess, I don't know, because I don't know why, but but these pastors all over were so blessed, you know, by this guy's ministry, and
yeah.
And Rodney was kind of, I don't know, maybe he figured I didn't have permission to do it, but I don't care anyway.
Well, what God's doing is incredible. And I feel, you know, it's like it's building up again. God is on the move. Aslan's on the move, as it said. It's just coming, increasing. The shaking that's gone on is causing believers to want God more. It's causing people who don't believe to question the status quo and get hungry for God. And we are praying for that, for the fear of the Lord to really fall over Campbell River and the West Coast here and to move. But I was thinking, in talking about something with you today, about, you know, how God uses circumstances, how God shows himself sovereign, how God intervenes in things. And right now over in Israel and in Gaza, we're getting all these stories of miracles as people in Israel, because of the, they say there's not a single family that doesn't know, have somebody who got killed by the terrorists or know somebody, because their population is pretty small compared to Canada or whatever. And they've all been shaken, desperately shaken by what's happened. And prayer to God in a country where most of them would probably be secular Jews, prayer to God has been rising, and God's answering prayer. It's pretty incredible what's going on. It's like a revival, but it's not, you know, they haven't got Jesus yet, but they're turning to God.
You know, I've been studying in Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, and all these kings, God called them evil kings.
Yeah.
Because they were secular, and they would lead Israel into idol worship.
Yep.
Now, people don't realize that idol worship up on these hills, the sanctuaries of Baal, and these, it was rock shows. It was exciting. There was women up there, like,
bands playing,
hardly
and
anything on, and there was music, you know, and
they're even sacrificing their babies.
Oh, man. And even Solomon, I mean, he got sucked into it at the end.
Because of his wives.
And
he married these foreign women he wasn't supposed to marry.
So there was lots of women up there. You know, if a guy was looking for a wife or something, boy, I tell you, that was the place to be. And God would wipe out each one of these kings and call them evil because of idol worship.
Yep.
And we look today and go, oh, what's idol worship? Well, look at rock and roll, number one. There was a lot of idol worship in rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go to one of these concerts, man, they got their hands in the air, they're worshiping, they're making all kinds of signals. And they're hooked.
But they're perverse,
they're
too.
It's not
just that you're idolizing a person, but their perversion is crazy in you know, so many of these things.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thought I have also on these high places and these idols that and these gods of the foreign nations Israel go off worshiping was, Sexual perversion was the other huge issue there. They would have their temple prostitutes and mm-hmm. and the gay prostitutes as well, not just, you know, not just the women, but the everything, children, it didn't matter. It was
even
all
male
there.
Prostitutes.
Male, yeah, and yeah. it was children, and the whole deal was mixed in there as well, and on and on. And God says, I'll have no other gods before me,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So, but getting on the point about Israel right now, Israel, even though it's Jewish by race, has been largely secular. I mean, certainly there's the Orthodox Jews there and such, mm-hmm. but the culture has been pretty secular.
Mm-hmm.
But they're turning to the Lord, and God's answering prayer. It's pretty amazing.
So we need to be careful of idols in our own lives.
Yeah.
You know, nothing wrong with, I guess, listening to an oldies station. You should be tuned into this one. But, it's we all love a beautiful love song. But there's something about being hooked into some of these things that when the Lord does offer good, I mean, these days, good Christian music, we need to change our lives. We need to change our hearts and be less secular.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm Norwegian by heart. I grew up here and was born here, but Norway is very secular.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you don't hear much about revival there because there's something about it. There's something about being so secular that it's hard for God to move.
Yeah.
And so you look at Israel, and these kings in the Bible, God called them evil, but God wiped them out.
Yeah.
They were assassinated, you know, so, you know.
So God intervenes in his people, in his nation that turned away from him.
He brings
the shaking, and this is what's going on today.
Yeah.
He brings the wars, the famines, the disease, the pestilence, the natural disasters. All these things came in and shook Israel. And I remember there's some scriptures where it says, God says, I troubled you on every side. God did.
Yes.
I troubled you on every side, but still you would not turn back to me.
Yeah.
But sometimes they did, like with Hezekiah, there were a bunch of kings that were good. They turned back to the Lord, and God brought good things to the nation.
There was always the odd good king.
Yeah.
And one king there, Hezekiah, I forget, but you know what? They equaled him with David.
Yeah, yeah.
Toward the end of Kings there,
and he
tore down those shrines. He went up into the hills and tore down even the brass serpent that Moses had erected, because the people started worshiping it too.
Yeah.
He tore it down.
And the bowls that were on the temple, that Solomon put these bowls on the temple roof.
Yeah.
And they had to tear them down too, but there was a turning back to God. But what I was going to get at, Chase, was God, all through the Bible, uses shaking, he uses tragedy, he uses things that we might interpret as so terrible. They are terrible. But if he has to bring a nation back to him, he will bring it back. It's like even in the United States, the nation had turned so far from God, and they end up having the Civil War. And God used that, and then right after the Civil War, there's huge revivals pour out.
Yes.
And it's a pattern over and over again. We had the Second World War, and then after the Second World War in the West, revivals, the healing revivals all over.
We were talking about that the other day, but why does it take such hurt for a miracle to happen? You know, it seems we have to be brought to our knees to pray for a miracle, maybe even revival.
Yeah. Well, the things you love with your heart get broken, and then you start turning your heart back to God. I think that's part of it. But what's interesting, and I've been sharing them off and on the last 2 weeks, is these miracle stories coming out of Israel right now with the IDF soldiers. Like, here's this one story I heard where there was a troop of like 25 of them something, and they're heading into one of the towns in Gaza looking for a cache of explosive. And it's at night. There's no power. And they're inching their way along, and each soldier has their hand on the shoulders of the soldier in front of them, up to the point man, the lead guy in front. They're inching their way along, and all of a sudden the lead guy sees a dove, and the dove is flying towards him. And like, what's a dove doing here? All the wildlife, animals, dogs, you name it, they've all left. There's no birds or nothing, but here's a dove. Flies right down and comes chest level in front of him, just a meter out, and it's sort of hovering there and flapping and hovering. And he goes, what the heck? Am I really seeing this? And he takes his rifle, and he's going to kind of poke it with the muzzle. And the guy behind him yanks him back. And what happened is the guy behind him in the dark focused, and he saw the tripwire. And this dove flew down, and it actually landed on the tripwire, and that's why it was kind of balancing, but it wasn't heavy enough to set off the explosive. So it saved their life, and they were able to get this massive cache of explosives and not be killed. And all kinds of stories like this coming out. You say, this is the hand of God, and these stories are going viral all over the world, all over Israel right now, and people are worshiping and thanking God in Israel like they have never done it in this generation. So what does God have to do right now? What are we going to go through is what I'm thinking. You know, what do we need? Here we are in Canada. We're starting to feel some pinch. We're starting to feel finances. We're starting to see difficulties. But we have known nothing about hardship.
You know, I'm downtown with these street people almost every day. And outside of the soup kitchens are a huge flock of doves, like pigeons, rock pigeons.
Yeah.
And they're the fattest little things you've ever seen because everyone's feeding them all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I look at this, and sometimes we need to look at things in the spiritual sense.
Yeah.
And it's like the Spirit is brooding over this city.
Yes.
God's going to do something.
Yep.
I know he is. And
you watch, it'll be like it was with Jesus. When the Spirit of God starts moving the city, all that kind of, those folks will start coming to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Jesus got criticized because they hung out with the sinners and the prostitutes and stuff, and they were turning to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. We saw it in the 90s, you and I. People showing up at church. And there weren't so many street people then, but certainly the addicts and the alcoholics and all of us kind of folks were showing up.
There was a lot of addicts, yeah.
Yeah, lots of addicts showing up. And they were getting touched. Some were saved. Some people know ones that were saved back then. I can name them. And got filled with the Holy Spirit, got delivered, they come to Christ, and they're there working through their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're on the path. They weren't on before.
No. Yep. And it's really interesting, you know, Jesus walks into the water and a dove comes down.
Yeah.
It's like a symbol. You know. The Holy Spirit is like with Moses, with this dove, you know, it's a symbol. So when we see these things, we need to recognize the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Sometimes it's just something small, but it's the Holy Spirit moving already over the waters.
Amen. You know what we're going to do? We're going to pray in the last couple minutes we got here. And let's just pray for Campbell River right now. Why don't you go ahead, Chase?
Let's pray for that and Israel. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this city, this great place, this beautiful island, Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, you've given us Campbell River, Father, for revival.
Thank you, Jesus.
We've had it before. We have it now.
Yeah.
And we will have even more again.
And Lord, let it go beyond the walls of the church this time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Lord, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you that you are in control. You are the miracle God working all over the world.
Amen. Lord, we just say in the name of Jesus, Campbell River, you be blessed with the love of God, the power and protection of God, and the fear of the Lord that brings wisdom and brings knowledge from above. Come on, Campbell River. Lord, we're praying the fear of the Lord begin to descend on people, and they know they got to get right with God. We pray, Lord, that you would protect us in the time of shaking, Lord. Revelations again and again indicate there's something coming down the pipe and not too distant future that will be difficult, but we're going to be carried through it. And Father, we pray, though, for awakening throughout our city, and that we would get under the spout where your love pours out, which was from Jesus, that many thousands, you've told me 5,000, are going to come to Christ, and that we'll see a great move and a great harvest coming in Campbell River. Lord, pray for even more than that. God, in Jesus' name, thank you for what you're doing in the churches too right now. And God, we pray to your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that those that serve you and operate as your servants, we're out in the world, that will bring your kingdom into the key places that set the direction of our culture and our city, because we don't want to just have a revival in the church walls. We want to have it out there in the marketplace where our nation's culture is being formed. We are praying that. Let there be an explosive transformation, Father. Come into our nation in the name of Jesus. Amen.
As I've traveled across Canada a few times, you know, even with the Foursquare churches, and I shouldn't just name them, but so many of these churches, we've never seen this before. We've never had a move of God before. Even evangelical free churches, they'd like, we've never seen and experienced the Holy Spirit like this. And most of these churches were conservative. Most of them, the pastors were very skeptic. And when you start talking about revival and the things of the Spirit, they don't want to move ahead. They have to check with headquarters. They get in trouble. But you know what? We would go and share the Holy Spirit with people, and all those churches, they'd accept it and they'd change and grow. The churches would double, then triple in size and become literally famous. Jesus became literally famous.
Amen.
In his ministry.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I feel like, too, that a lot of the churches, the blessing, the outpouring of the joy of the God was God's refreshing and blessing, but in preparation for the next thing, we're right on the cusp right now. We're right at the edge of the what God's about to do in a profound and huge way, and we're just praying it through. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for revival.
Amen.